Starting with verse number 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That's a slap, isn't it? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You can be seated. Dear Father, tonight as we bow in your presence, we thank you for the word of God. I pray that you might help us now, that we might stand with the truth, and God, give the word of God out tonight. It might be a blessing and a help and a strength. Lord, may we pick up the thoughts that we need to have tonight from the throne of God. We're not able, Lord, to say in ourselves what needs to be said, but God, we know tonight that you know what we need. So I pray you give us the word of God in its totality tonight, God, that we might see the things and the thoughts that you might run upon our mind, that we might say the things, God, to be pleased in your sight, that when we leave here, it's been something, God, that could help us to bring us closer to a closer walk with you and, Lord, a closer relationship with you. And we'll give you the praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen. Looking with me, please, back in verse number 15. I read all those verses, but in verse 15, I want you to notice something here. He said that you may be blameless. And that's hard to be, I guarantee, in this modern world. That you may be blameless and harmless. The sons of God. That's what we are. And we're the sons of God. And that's talked about you ladies as well now. That don't put it off to the men. He said, without rebuke. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. This is pretty good. This is a pretty good standard, I'd say, tonight, that God is expecting out of you and me as a child of God. Would you agree with me here? He said that you may be, number one, blameless. Number two, harmless. Number three, without rebuke. That's a pretty good testimony if you can do that. Amen. And I don't believe that God put it in here for us to have something we couldn't reach. I believe that can happen. I believe a child of God tonight can be harmless, blameless, and without rebuke in a perverse and crooked world. I believe that with all my heart. Now take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Titus. Hold your place there. That will be our text. And let's turn to the book of Titus. And we'll read one verse out of the book of Titus, and then we'll mention some more about it. And I want to continue on the study tonight of the holiness lifestyle. Amen. And looking in Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 16. Titus chapter 1 verse 16, he said, they profess that they know God. But he said, but in works they deny him. They're saying one thing and doing another. Have you ever run into anybody that can say one thing and do another? Well, let me ask you another question. Have you ever said one thing and done another? You don't have to answer that. May the Holy Spirit do it for you. But in works, they deny him and said, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Nowhere near what God wants. God said that crowd done that. These are people who profess to know God, but in works they don't know him. Now, God's showing us something here I believe we ought to pay much attention to here. We're talking about the lifestyle. I do believe tonight that being holy and holiness tonight is a lifestyle. I really believe it's a lifestyle. Now, just bear with me just for a minute tonight for just a thought. If the drunkard and he's drinking all the time, we call him, he's got a drunkard's lifestyle. Because that's what he does. If we talk about a gambler, we'd say he's got a gambler's lifestyle. If he's a reviler, he's got a lifestyle of reviling. And on and on it goes. But tonight, I believe if we're holy, where we ought to be tonight, that's our lifestyle. And we ought to seek tonight to have a lifestyle that's holy. 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 Now, I believe tonight, and put this in your notes, and I believe you ought to get this, and this is something we'll take our time with and try to get it down in us, because I want to be more holy. I don't know where you do or not, but I want to be more holy. Amen. Every one of us in here has a sense, maybe, of holiness, and we may not know exactly what all of it is, and we're not trying to get them. When I talk about holiness, I'm not talking about getting the place where we jump the pews and speak where you can't understand. When I'm just talking about a holy lifestyle, it's quite different what the world has an idea of today. But I'm talking about Bible holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Amen? And so I believe tonight we need to be holy. But it's a full-time job being a Christian in an unchristian world. Would you agree with that tonight? It's a full-time job to be holy in an unholy world. It's a full-time job tonight to be godly in an ungodly world. And that's where we are. We're stuck in the midst of this. Sometimes we can look at ourselves and think that we're part-time holy. And then we might look at it and say, well, we're partially holy. So let's just examine those two little thoughts for a moment. If we're part-time holy, it means that once in a while we get a little holy streak in us. Amen. Everybody in this building's had a little holy streak. Amen. It's good when you get them holy streaks. The thing is, it don't last long. Hey, sometimes it's you, and they'll just bear with me, and I'm telling the truth, and I'm trying to get down to the verse. You may think it, you say, this is just real. This is real. I want it to be real. Sometimes you want to get close to God. Say amen, and I know you do. Sometimes you want to get close to God, but not all the time. Sometimes you want to know more about God than you've ever known. Sometimes you want to know more about the Bible than you've ever learned. And then sometimes you could care less where you ever picked it up again. Amen. I'll say amen whether you will or not. I know I'm telling the truth. Sometimes you want to pray and seek the face of God. You have that desire to pray and seek the face of God. And then there's sometimes you don't have time to pray and you're glad you don't have time to pray. Come on. Amen. We'll get into some problems where we are before we get out of this, but I believe tonight we'll see where it's at. Sometimes, you know, it's kind of like this. Sometimes you're in the mood for apple pie, and sometimes you're in the mood for a green beans. And sometimes we're in the mood for the church and the Lord, and sometimes we ain't in the mood for the Lord. Now, you got that, hadn't you? But I said this, and remember what I said a while ago. It is a full-time job to be holy. So I say we're part-time holy. Now, sometimes we're partially holy. So when we get in that part-time mood and that part-time mode that we're on that little part-time run, you know, being holy, that holiness is just partial. We only want so far. We only want to be so holy. We don't want to get too close because there are too many things we'd have to give up. There's too many things we'd have to quit. There's too many places we'd have to stop going to. And there's so many habits in our life we'd have to give completely up. So we just want to be partially holy. We want to just go so far with God. Amen. I believe we're still on track, aren't we? Amen. We just take our time and get right at this. This is where our problems are. I believe tonight what we need is to dump all that and get the place and follow the Word of God. I'll give you some things I believe will help tonight in a sense. Now, as long as we're holding on to the world, and you remember the other night I said we couldn't be holy unless we're saved. Amen. Take salvation. Then there's a love for the Word of God. We want to love to keep His commandments. Remember we preached on that the other day. We've got to yield our members over to the Lord and give over to Him. And we just touched on it. We didn't get into the down to the depths of it like we ought to. Maybe we'll just get on into that before it's over. But I'm saying to you tonight that holiness is something that needs to be worked on. Now, if you can work on it and manufacture it, it's still not going to be real. Holiness, and I believe I've said this before, I'll say it again tonight, I want you to know that holiness is not something that you can muster up. It's not something that a pastor can pull out of his pocket and sprinkle on the congregation. It's not something tonight that we can order off the catalog or off the internet. Holiness is something tonight that we cannot help each other with as far as giving each other a portion of wholeness. Wholeness only comes from the Lord. And the Lord God Almighty has got to be the one who gives the holiness and makes us holy. It's not something that He just sprinkles down on us. Holiness is something tonight that it will be automatic when we find our place where God wants us to be. But our problem is that we don't want it, and we'll talk about it in just a little bit. Now, if you'll just be honest tonight, what I've already said is enough to disturb us to think about just for a little bit more. And that is that we, most of us, don't want to really be holy. We don't really want to be holy. We do, but we don't. We're saying it with our mouth, but we're not believing it with our heart. If we seek God with all our heart and all our mind, something's going to take place. Now, I do believe that there's degrees of holiness. I believe tonight that some are more holy than another. And I don't want to even talk about this too much, because we're getting to the place that some of you will start picking at each other and say, well, I'm more holy than old brother so-and-so, and I'm more holy than old sister so-and-so, and I'm more holy than this and that. And we don't want that kind of junk. Amen. Amen. I've got news for you. There ain't nobody in this building as holy as you ought to be, including the pastor. I'm preaching to him too tonight. Amen. We need to be more holy than what we are. We all come short, the Bible said, of the glory of God, but we also come short of the holiness of God. We're not as holy as we ought to be. We're not as holy as we could be. And we're not as holy as God wants us to be. God has a standard for holiness. But let me just share this with you. In the Old Testament time, there was one piece of equipment, or not equipment, but there was one thing that God honored. And He honored a lot of things, but this one particular I want to talk about. One of them is the tabernacle. You remember the tabernacle? It had three compartments to it. It had the holy place. They put the fence up on the outside, had one entrance into it, which is a type of one door into heaven. And what they did is they come into that one entrance. When they come into that one entrance, there was a laver with a brazen, you know, it was the brazen laver there made out of the looking glasses of the ladies. And also it had the altar. And there it was. They sacrificed on the altar. They washed themselves in the laver. But that place, that outer court, what we want to talk about, that outer court was what they call the holy place. It wasn't a common place. I don't believe that they allowed everything and anything to go on in the holy place. I believe people came in presentable in the holy place. I don't believe the kids were in romping and stomping and tearing it up in the holy place. Amen. Now listen to me. I don't believe the dogs and the chickens and the cows and all that were in the holy place. Amen? I believe that was a holy thing. The people stayed on the outside. But when it comes to the holy place, in there's where the sacrifice was being made and was made, and that was called the holy place. Then they went back in there in the next compartment, and it's called the most holy place. Inside there was the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the seven golden candlestick. You got it now, ain't you? That's where that the priest went with blood. He sprinkled it. And that's where they had the communion with God. That's what a type of the blood is, and the light of the candlestick and the censers that give the incense and went up before God as a sweet smelling savor. And brother, that's called the most holy place. So I want you to know, everybody and his brother wasn't able to go there. But that was more holy than the holy place just outside. You got me? You got it figured, hadn't you? You know where we're going, don't you? And so there was one more compartment, and that was behind the veil. And that was called the Holy of Holies, or the mostest of the holiest of all. Amen. The Holy of Holies. And nobody could come in there but except by blood. And that was the most holy that you could get. And God says that He's had it in His tabernacle. And I believe that's where we can be in our life. We can be at the holy place, the most holy, or the holiest place of all. And I believe tonight, you said, well, I don't believe we'll ever get to the holiest place. Oh, yes, we visited the holiest of all tonight many times in our life. You said, William, I believe when we get in there at the throne of grace, I believe we get on the altar before God. I believe when we're just talking to you and me are just talking to God, and when we're laying our petition out before the holy God of heaven tonight, I believe when we're doing that, I believe we're in the holiest place that we could get in on this side of eternity. Amen.
Brother, I believe we can get that, so we can get there. But most of us don't want to stay there. Now, we don't always get there that way. Sometimes we pray and we don't get through. Actually, we get through before we get through. Maybe I ought to say it that way. In other words, we get tired and we don't finish our prayer life. But if you ever get plugged in, some of you in this building has probably never really been plugged in to the third heaven where you knew that you was in touch with God. But there's been many times in my life I can experience and I have experienced and can tell you tonight without a doubt that there's some times I felt like I was in the very presence of God when I was praying and calling on a holy God. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you, there wasn't no foolishness there. Brother, it was precious. So we'll see tonight that there's some degrees of it. Now, I believe tonight it takes a real conscientious effort tonight to stay holy in an unholy world. Goes back to what I said a while ago. I believe holiness, let me give you some things, jot these down. I believe holiness, number one, demands constant attention. I don't believe you can just think about being holy every now and then. I don't think you can just think about being holy every once in a while. Just on a special occasion. I don't believe we ought to be thinking just about being holy on Sunday when we come to church, and Sunday night when we come to church, or Wednesday night when we come to church. We ought to be thinking and constantly reminding our hearts, lives, that we need to be holy before God constantly, every day, every waking moment of our life. We ought to be trying to find where we can get the closest to God that we can find. Amen. You believe that? All right. I believe it takes some constant attention. Amen. I believe it's kind of like the, you know what, driving. Driving is something that it takes constant attention. Hey, amen. How many of y'all come to church tonight and didn't put your hands on the steering wheel? How many of you drove up here tonight and just pushed the button and said, car, go to the church house? You had to be conscious. You know what you done? And sometimes you even drove that car. Don't even remember turning the curves, but you brought it in. There, it took a little bit of conscious effort, didn't it? You got to be have some conscious effort to get, and the same, it goes with a part of holiness tonight. We've got to have a conscious effort put forth to try to be holy. Amen. Now, the holiness is not something, as I said a while ago, I can tack on me. I can label on me. It's not something I can pick up and put on. But holiness is something tonight that God bestows upon us, but simply because we're following the criteria and also getting what you call the recipe that God has in the Word of God for. We're going to talk about that before we get through. Maybe not tonight, but sometime. I believe tonight it takes a constant attention. I believe it takes some diligent effort toward it. I believe tonight it takes some mental powers. I believe it takes, on top of all the mental powers, more than the mental, I believe it takes some spiritual powers. I believe it takes some spiritual touch of God. I believe it takes some hard work. I believe tonight it takes some consistent devotion to be holy. You have to desire to be holy. You have to want to be holy. You have to desire that with all your heart. Amen. Sometimes we don't desire it like we ought to. Amen. I'm just preaching to you tonight, and I'm looking at some of you, and some of you are about like waves on the ocean. You're just kind of going that way, and you said he'll get through in a minute. And I mean, some of you ain't got ankle deep yet. Amen. Some of you got buried before it got started. You didn't know what I was talking about. You still don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. But maybe one or two of you tonight will get a hold of something from God tonight. We need to be holy. Can I stress to you tonight? We need to be holy. We're holy people. God wants us to be holy. Amen. And I'll give you the reason for that in just a minute. There's a whole lot to say about this, and I'm not going to have time to do. You know your life? I don't care how you live your life tonight, your life is going to affect somebody. It's going to affect somebody. You're going to have some kind of influence on somebody. Your life will influence, let me give you something, I know it will influence. Number one, your life will influence your family. Whether you're a mother, a daddy, a daughter, a son, whether you're a cousin or uncle, but I'll tell you tonight, your life will affect somebody in your family. What you do will affect somebody in your family. It not only affects your family, but your life, whatever you do, it will affect your friends. Whatever they see you do and how they see you live and the way they see you talk and walk and all those things tonight, that will affect their lives. Yes, your friends. But I'll tell you something else. It'll affect your foes, your enemy. Amen. That's right. Most of us, You know what happens when we revile not again. The Bible said, what about in the Word of God did we read to you? To be what? Harmless. And what? Give me that other one. You remember it? Blameless. Amen. Remember them. I tried to stress that. We went over it. We missed it. God wants us to be harmless and blameless. Amen. And our enemies need to see that tonight. And we demonstrate it wrong. Well, bless God, I'll tell you right now, they mess me. They ruffle my fur. I'm going to get upset with them. And they won't want to mess with me. That's our attitudes. Are you with me? Amen. We're going to get back. But God said He wants us to be harmless and blameless. Brother, I believe holy people have a different attitude. And I believe tonight that they have a different way of doing things. Amen. It'll control your anger. He'll control a lot of things, amen, about you when you get where you need to be and get as holy as you ought to be tonight. Amen. Not only that, but your life will do one or two or three things. Let me give you these. Jot these down. Your life tonight will bring somebody closer to God. Or it'll drive somebody farther from God. Or it'll make them stay at the same place and never move in any direction. Amen. Now, the best one of all of them is to try to move somebody toward God. A holy life will always lead somebody to a holy God. An unholy life will lead somebody to the unholy world and the unholy devil and the things of this life. And somebody that's not concerned and don't care too much, just living a happy, what I call a mediocre life, right down the middle, straddling the fence all the way, won't even influence nobody to get close to God nor walk away from God. Amen. You say, well, that's a pretty good place to be. No, it's not. Good place to be is trying to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Your life will turn somebody on or it'll turn somebody off concerning God. Amen. Everybody in this building. You'll do that down on the job. What is the old saying? Is at home, at work, or play? You're going to fix somebody at home, at work, or at play. Amen. All the time in your life. You'll influence it. Now, in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, I'm not going to read them to you because we preached on these before. But he's talked about the congregation and the crowd. It's the aged men, the aged women, the young men, and the young women. I believe I got them out of order from there. But we don't see out of the second chapter of the book of Titus that God's including every one of us. Amen. And He's telling us what we're to do. If you'll turn, and I've looked at this before, but I want to point it out to you again tonight out of the Word of God. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 12. Here's what God wants you to do, and a holy person does this. The Bible said in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 12, He tells you what holy living really is in verse number 12. Teaching us. What does? The grace of God's appeared to all men, and the grace of God teaches us. Number one, teaching us denying ungodliness. That's what holiness does to you. Holiness will automatically deny ungodliness. Amen. It'll run from it. It'll hide from it. It'll get away from it. If it's ungodly, you leave it alone. Remember, I preached this already, but when we come across some of these areas. Secondly, it not only teaches us to deny ungodliness, but number two, it teaches us to deny worldly lust. Now, lust is something that you desire, something that you try to get gratification to the flesh to. Amen. Something that it pleases you, something that you like, something that you love, something that's precious. And God said, what happens is that we need to deny worldly lust, lust having any kind of desire and love for the world. Number two. Number three, He said that we should live soberly. That means not intoxicated, not in this particular place, not with alcohol, but not intoxicated with the things of this world, or the things that you can think of, but being a sober. In other words, you've got a good, clean mind that you can think of. That's what God wants out of holy people. Holy people tonight do that. And you need to get that place that you live soberly. Number four, not only live soberly, but live righteously. Amen. Living righteously. We talked about that. And then, and godly. We need to live godly. Five things, He said. What, where? In this present world. Right now. Not when we leave. Right now. So God gives us the key to it. Now, let's go a little bit further and work on this some more and try to get some things laid down for us. I tell you tonight, what happens when we get holy is that we begin to have the same attitudes that God has. We begin to think like, in Philippians, he said, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Remember that now. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. We're to have the mind of Christ. The more holy that we become, the holier that we are, the more like Christ we become. Isn't that what Christians are? Christians are people who are what? Christ-like. Amen. What's that mean? Christ-like. That means they look like Christ, walk like Christ, live like Christ. Now it begins to whittle us down, don't it? Amen. Sometimes I feel like I'm trying to live close like Christ. Sometimes I feel like I don't. Amen. We're part-time holy. Amen. Remember that. And that's a different word that I guess you never heard before, but at least hadn't thought about, but we're part-time holy. Amen. We leave this building tonight, we'll remember that, won't we? Amen. And next time you get mad at somebody, you go say, this is that part-time unholy. That's right. We have to work on it. Listen, when you get up in the morning, you know what we're doing? I said a while ago, we're going with the flow of time. We don't pay much attention to what the Word says, but we need to pay attention every waking moment to how much the Word has control of us and let the Bible have control of our thinking and our thought pattern. Amen. All right, I'll give you a few more things and I'll let you go. Listen, we begin to have the attitude and the heart's desires that God has. What God loves, we love when we're holy. Amen. What God hates, we hate when we're holy. Amen. What we're trying to do in this modern day as Christians, and I know this today, and people said we shouldn't compromise. And the compromiser, you know what we do? We're holding on to some of the things of the world. And did you know tonight every one of us are a compromiser? If that's the case, if that's the definition of it. Because we're holding on to God with one hand and the world with another. And we're trying to see how far away we can get from God, but at the same time still have enough God about us to be classified as a Christian. Amen. That's where we live. God help me. I get that way. You get that way. Now, I'm saved. I know I'm saved tonight by the grace of God, but I don't always want to live holy. Amen. Two or three of us in here will agree to that. Some of you, you'd think you done got there, and you holy, holy, holy. Amen. That's right. But I'll tell you tonight, there's some times that you don't feel like being too holy. Amen. Let somebody ruffle your feathers in the morning and see if you want to feel like being holy then. Let somebody talk about you and say things about you and see if you want to try to be. You won't think about trying to see how holy you can get when they're being reviled. You'll try to see how far. You won't even think about being holy. You want to fall in with the flow and get even. You see, tonight we're in the flesh and this is something we have to work on. How many times? My wife will say something. She said something to me the other day, and of course this is just a good indication and a good illustration to all of us. We come to it. And she said, somebody said something to me, and she said, I didn't say nothing. I said, no, but I bet you bit your lip 500 times. Amen. Knowing her. You with me tonight? Sometimes people say things to you, and you'll have to bite your lip and bite your lip and bite your lip and sometimes nearly draw blood. If you want to be holy. Amen. Sometimes you hold out for about 10, 15 minutes and then you let her go. That's not holy. God wants us to be harmless and what? Blameless in this current world. And so we need to be holy. God help us tonight to be holy. I'm just trying to take these easy. God wants us to love what He loves, hates what He hates. God wants us to want what God wants for our lives. Amen. Most of us won't get down and pray, God, help me to be what you want me to be. Make me the individual. Make me the Christian. Make me the man. Make me the woman. Make me the boy. Make me the girl that you want me to be. The reason you won't pray that is because you're afraid God's going to ask you to do something you don't want to do. How long has it been since you got down and said, God, it don't make no difference. You want to send me to the darkest Africa, or if you want to put me in the worst country in the world as a missionary, or if you want me to have the worst, and if it takes my help to get me where I need to be, then Lord, so let it be. Listen, many folks ain't going to pray that. Amen. But we need to pray God's will, whatever God's will is for our lives. Whatever it takes to make us holy. There's a song, whatever it takes. And we all as God's people need to get the place that whatever it takes, that's what we want. God, help me to do what you want me to do. To have the mind of Christ, to think like you, to live like you. Amen. Now, I'll give you this. There's three things that God can use and does use tonight to make you holy. Three things God will use to make you holy. And it'll take all three of these. Number one, write them down. To be holy, you've got to have the Word of God. You can't be holy without the Word of God. Now, we've already preached on this, that we need to love to obey His commandments. Right? So it's going to take the Word of God to make you holy. You won't get holy out of science fiction magazines. You won't get holy off the newspaper. You won't get holy off the periodicals that come in your house. You won't even get holy off your commentaries. But you'll get holy off the Word of God. If you don't use the Word of God tonight, some of you use the Word of God and still ain't holy. Come on. But if you ever get holy, it's going to be number one because of the Word of God. If you didn't have a standard to go by, and that's where you get your standard. The standard is the Word of God. Not what I think, not what you think. Preacher, I believe this would be all right. I believe we could do this. What does the Bible say? The Bible is the authority. And so tonight when we look at the Word of God, we've got to have the Word of God to make us holy. Number two, there's something else that God uses, and it's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God drives the Word of God down into our heart. And it's the Spirit of God. You cannot be holy without God's Holy Spirit. Amen. You'll never... Listen, we don't try to find more of the Spirit. The Bible teaches us we ought to be what? Filled with the Spirit. We ought to be. The Bible teaches us that. He tells us to be filled. Didn't say we ought to be, just said to be filled with the Spirit. Be ye filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God makes us holy. When God begins to work in us, the Word works in us, and the Spirit works in us. What happens on the inside? The Spirit and the Word begin to come on the outside, and the outside begins to be seen as holy because it's on the inside. Now, you know what most of us are doing? We're painting up the outside and leaving the Bible laid to the side, not worrying about the Spirit. You know what we're doing, don't you? We're making our forms and fashions, and we're trying to make ourselves holy. Amen. You know, I spot them folks that's doing that. Because that crowd's always bragging about what they're doing for God. They're always bragging about how close to God they are today. Somebody gets and says, boy, I tell you what, I'm a living my life close. I'm a living close to God. Run from them. You said, preacher? Yeah. Leave them alone. Don't trust them. Amen. Now, I'm not saying tonight that some of y'all might be saying, I'm trying to live as close as I possibly can to God. I know there's some in here like that. I know we've got people in this building saying, I'd like to live as close, and I'm trying my best to live as close to God as I can. But you're not up a bragging on tonight. Hey, look, I'm living close as I can be, boy. I'm close. I'll tell you right now, me and God got something going. I've heard people even make statements like that. Me and the Lord got something good a going. We got a good thing a going. I've heard people get up and testify like that. But when you get really holy, what you say is, thank God for His presence. And God begins to work through you instead of bringing recognition to this flesh. He begins to bring recognition to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and to the Holy God Almighty tonight. And when you think that you're bringing recognition to yourself and you're holy, mark it down. It's not wholeness that's being demonstrated. It's flesh. The closer you get to God, the more you'll brag about Jesus. The less the world will see of you, and the more they'll see of God. Amen. You don't have to go around telling people you're holy when you're holy. Matter of fact, you won't want to do that, because when you get holy, you won't want to even see yourself. You'll find yourself as nothing. It's Him you want to exalt. It's holy people that exalts a holy God. And you can't exalt a holy God unless you're holy. And the holy God's got to make you holy. Now you said that's a lot of repetition. Yeah, that's right, but I hope you got it. You caught it, didn't you? Brother, that's God's order. That's the way God does it. And I appreciate it. I thank God for it. You see, that's what He does. Number three, we only become holy because of the Word of God and because of the Spirit of God. And number three, and this is important, it will not be, you'll never get holy unless there's, and I've done preached on this, a surrendered life. You take the Bible, you take the Holy Spirit of God, and they both work together. They never work against each other. There's never no confusion between the Spirit and the Word. The only problem that they'll have to make you and me holy is a surrendered life. And if we never surrender to God and say, God, I want to do, I want to go, I want to say, I want, and listen, in my life down through the years, I've tried to limit God. I wanted to do the best I could for God, but I had some stipulations on some things, and therefore God did not use me like He wanted to use me, and the same is going for you too tonight. You've limited God. And you have allowed God to just touch you when you can be touched, and when you make yourself available. So those things. Now, what happens is tonight, when we get holy, we begin to see the world as God sees the world. Amen. And the world tonight must see Christ, or it'll never change. Now let me say this, and you know this tonight. The only Bible that some people read is your life. You've heard that over and over and over. And it's something that needs to be repeated and said over and over and over, because it's still just as true as the first time somebody said it. The only Bible that some people will see in this world and read is your life that you live. And if you're going to have the world to see Christ tonight, it's going to take some things. It's going to take three things. Amen. What's it going to take to see the world, or get the world to see Christ? Write them down. You'll find that they're right in line with what we just said. Number one, the Word of God. Sinners are never going to come to Christ, and the world's never going to turn to God until, first of all, they find the real Word of God. That's why we're having so many problems in this world right now. People have got so many different versions, and some don't see it as the Word of God, and this is the Word of God, and they all read so many different ways. So there's so much confusion, but I'll tell you tonight, the sinner and the world must see Christ, and or they'll never change. And they can't see Christ without the Word. Number two, they can't see God without the Spirit. Amen. Just like our lives in holiness. The Word of God has to go out. How does a sinner see Christ? He needs to be preached to, the Word of God. And the Word of God must come in the power of God, and the Spirit of God must convict him of his sin, right? We all know that. And then there's another step to that thing. And they need to see somebody that's producing the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, that tonight is living a life that's pleasing unto God. That's what the world needs to see. It needs to see church members tonight that are full of God. Not full of the world, not full of the devil, not full of the flesh. But they need to see church members tonight that are saved by the grace of God, filled up with the Word of God and on the Spirit of God, that are living lives that are examples of the Word of God tonight. And then they begin to see Christ in me and you. Let me ask you this. When you're down in a public place out there, can they look at you and say, hey, that person right there, just by the way they're walking and talking and smiling and the way they're living, I can tell right now that they're a Christian. I've seen people, and I've walked up to some people before, didn't know from nobody, and I say, I believe you must be a preacher. And they say, yeah, I am. Amen. And there's some folks I believe I walked up to, and they weren't preachers, and I knew they weren't, but I walked up to them and I said, listen, I know you're living right for God. I could say that because you could tell they got a special glow about them. Let me ask you tonight, is your life something special that you can point somebody to Christ by the way you live in the public place when they see you? Can they look at you and say, that is a child of God. I know without a doubt that they are a child of God. When you open your mouth and speak, They know you talk like Christ. Getting quiet. Amen. But this is what I'm talking about. Amen, ladies and gentlemen. All right. I believe tonight we need to love some things as Christ loves them. Number one, we need to love the church like He loves it. And then I believe we need to love the lost like He loves it, like loves them. And by the way, can you see the similarity between the two? In Ephesians, the Bible said that Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? He gave Himself. He died for the church. And you and I ought to be willing to die for the church tonight. And then for sinners, He loved them enough that He was willing to die. Not only willing to die, but He died for them and went to the grave and arose. And we ought to love sinners like Christ loves sinners. And when we get holy, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. Our time's running out, ladies and gentlemen. I've said it. I come up the road tonight, and I've got some people that, you know what? I've dealt with them for years and years and years. And I've dealt with them many times, and I said something, and I've tried to beg them and plead with them to get saved. I've tried to plead with them, and I said, hey, look, you need to give your life to God. That's some folks I've been praying for a long time. And you know what I've done? I've kind of put on some little kid gloves, and I've been trying to pat them on the back a little bit to keep from hurting their feelings, because I'm afraid I'm going to hurt their feelings and they'll turn me off. And I've dealt with them for years and years and years, but I told my wife tonight, I'm tired of this. I'm running the end of the road. Brother, it ain't long for me. And then on top of that, the rapture could take place any minute. It ain't going to be long for them. Hey, I'm going to take the gloves off. I'm going to let them know that they're going to hell. I'm not going to beat them up. That wouldn't help them. But I'm going to have enough love for them to tell them the truth and let them know I'm on sugar-coated. Amen. They're going to hell without God. You've got loved ones and friends tonight that are lost and undone, and they're going to hell. They're not going to a Sunday school picnic. They're going to hell. And we got to do something to turn them around. I got some family members, brother, they talked about what I preached down through the years and talked. And now some of them's getting ready to die, and some of them got sicknesses and illnesses tonight. Hey, I want to tell you something. I'm not going to bear no place tonight back up on any inch. I'm just going to tell them, hey, it's high time you recognize that you're going to hell without God. It's high time you start staring in the face. It's time to start doing something about it. Amen. Well, I'll close with this tonight. In the Bible, it talked about stones. You know, I got to think about stones. I could use this as an illustration over there where they put the memorial stones up. But you know, have you ever gone to a place, and I know down where I live, we put a little rock, put some rocks up and put concrete between. But if you ever went to somebody's house, or they make these little concrete things, and you can get rocks or stones, either one. And you kind of place them out in your walkway and put gravel or something around them. If you don't put cement. And what do you call them? Stepping stones? You can take some stepping stones. And you can step on them stepping stones to stay straight. And keep out the mud off your feet and get in the house. But them same stepping stones, if they're put in another place in the dark and there's nothing between them, you can't find, they can become stumbling stones. And I say, God, help me tonight to be a stepping stone that somebody can use me to get to Christ over. And not a stumbling stone that they can stumble over and go to hell. I want to be holy. Don't you want to be holy? Just in studying this and looking at these, you know, it's the little simple things. All what I've talked about tonight is real simple stuff. And we're missing the mark and coming short of the glory of God over the little simple thing. We're trying to make something hard. It's a hard thing to live for God, we think. But all we got to do is the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and a surrendered life. Amen. Forget about what you're going to do, what you have done, what you are doing. Get your mind on God. Amen. You say, but preacher, I got to make a living. You'd be holy doing it. Amen. What did the Bible say?
Just think about this. The Bible said holy men of God were moved, amen, by the Spirit of God, and they penned down the Word of God. So you can be holy. You say, well, preacher, I am holy. Amen. Keep on bragging. Amen. I'd like to think tonight that I've got a little streak of holiness in me. I'm not talking about the denomination. I'm talking about the character. I'd like to think tonight that there's some part of me holy. But I know tonight I come short of being real holy like God wants me to be holy. And I can say that of you too. I'm not picking at your life or nothing. I'm just trying to say, if there's anything I can do tonight, it's convince you that you need to be more holy. Give some undivided attention to this business of holiness tonight. God help us. Heads bowed. I believe holiness is a lifestyle. I believe it's the lifestyle of a Christian. I believe it's the lifestyle of a child of God. Do you believe that? I really do. I believe tonight that the lifestyle of a child of God is just to be holy. Just a characteristic of them. I believe people that are saved by God's grace are to be a holy people. Sometimes we think, well, just because we got the label, well, we are. We do have a label. But how holy are you? I believe tonight you'd agree with me tonight that you've seen times in your life you're more holy than you are now, maybe more holy now than you've been in a long time. But holiness is something that we come short on. God help us. Stand, please. I'm talking about a Bible attribute tonight to the child of God. I'm not talking about a denomination, a bill, something on. I'm talking about a life that God can use and a life that can touch others. And that's a holy life God wants us to have.